Well, hello. My name is Nate. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from addiction to pornography, pride, and codependency. If we hadn't had a chance to meet yet, I actually was part of the startup of the recovery ministry here at Watermark in 2002. Joined the staff in 2006, led the ministry here from 2006 to 2017, and then since that time, I've been the national director of regeneration, helping other churches and other places and other countries launch the ministry. It's a real privilege for me to be here tonight. I'm here tonight talking about pornography. And I'm talking about pornography because it's an issue that I've struggled with personally. And porn is really any material that's used to elicit sexual arousal. And that can include images, videos, magazines, literature, television, movies, social media, anything. And the reasons why we're talking about this is because this issue impacts the majority of the people that come to regeneration. By far, this is the biggest issue outside of pride, which everyone has, they just don't realize, you know, at time, and in regeneration. And the other reason is that this is a growing problem worldwide, and not just out there, but also in the church. The latest Barna study shows that 57% of pastors say porn addiction is the most damaging issue in their congregation. 68% of church-going men and over 50% of pastors view porn on a regular basis. 33% of women, so it's not just men, 33% of women under the age of 25 search for porn at least once a month. And 87% of Christian women have watched porn at least once. And it's affecting our youth. 70% of youth pastors report that they've had a teen ask them for help this year. This is a big issue. My first memory of porn came when I was 5 years old. Literally, a neighbor held my head down to a magazine, and I can still remember that image. And then that same neighbor would shame me into doing things I wasn't supposed to do. He'd say, hey, you need to go to the park with me, and if you don't, I'm going to tell everybody that the pastor's kid's been looking at porn. And so this arousal, this shame started a double life for me. And when I got into junior high, I had a classmate that provided magazines for me regularly. And I spent hours fantasizing about the women in those magazines, which led to sexual relationships as a teenager. I was physically intimate with girls early, but when the relationship got hard or difficult, I would move on, just like in those fantasies. And I struggled on and off until adulthood. And when I became an adult, really it was this issue that God brought me to my knees, and I really surrendered my life to the Lord. I believe I was a believer before then, but at that moment, Christ became my Lord. And at that moment, God gave me immense freedom from pornography. Literally took away any desire for that or masturbation for over a year and a half, and I really grew during that time. Threw myself into the Lord, read a lot, and it was during that time that I met my wife. We got married. We thought porn was behind us. Watermark started, and I was leading in the church in a ministry the first year that Watermark started. And then I accidentally stumbled across some pornography. I didn't tell anybody. And about 3 weeks later, I was back on the same site. Then 2 weeks, then 1 week. And several months down the road, I was back into a full-blown addiction. During those times, I was passive with my wife, selfish, thinking of only my needs, resentful, lustful, trying to escape reality, dealing with guilt and shame. There's all kinds of reasons why people use pornography. And though the addiction can become physiological, the roots of the struggle are emotional and spiritual rather than sexual. Physiologically, people go to it to get a natural high. When you masturbate and look at pornography, your brain floods with dopamine. It's the same thing that happens when you take a hit of cocaine. So it can be addictive. I had the shakes when I started to come off of pornography. People go to it to take control. When life is not as I want, my desires or needs become the highest priority in a fantasy world. I can control that world. Or maybe things are so chaotic that they just want to escape reality or numb some pain, and I can find momentary pleasure in this fantasy world. Or maybe I'm already numb and I just want to feel something. Or like many of us, maybe you're just trying to fill a void. It might be that you're lonely. In my case, I want an affirmation of my manhood. I don't have time to go through a diagnostic for you to figure out if you've got a problem. I would really encourage you, if you suspect or you've been struggling with pornography, to go to regenerationrecovery.org and take the Struggle Finder. And my dare to you is to just be rigorously honest with the questions. And it will help you see if this is an issue that you should start to deal with. And Scripture has something to say about this. It says it's a different type of sin in your life. And really the only thing that you need to do is flee from it. 1 Corinthians 6:13 says, "Flee sexual immorality. Every other sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body." Now, you might be there and not think that pornography is sexual immorality, but the root of pornography is lust. And Christ had something to say about lust. In Matthew 5, he says, "You've heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you, for it's better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." Now, nobody tear out their eye, please, okay? I don't think Christ was being literal in that moment, but his point is, this is such a damaging sin that you need to go to extreme measures to cut it out of your life. But I suspect that many of the people that are in this room and maybe watching this later know that you're struggling. And I want to speak to you as someone that's been there, knowing that those secrets keep you up at night, knowing the guilt and the shame, knowing feeling dirty like there's no way out, can't imagine going any amount of time without looking at pornography, when life hits you hard, having images rush at you. I know what that's like. And I just want to tell you, God loves you. And there's hope for you. You don't have to be trapped by darkness or the isolation or the emptiness of porn. And when you're tired of fighting and feel defeated, you are at the beginning. When what matters to you most is getting well, you're ready to start. You need to stop fighting and you need to flee. That's what Scripture calls you to do. You're not strong enough to defeat the struggle on your own. And so a great verse that tells us how to flee is 2 Timothy 2:22. It was vital to my recovery. It says, "Now flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." And so it's not just fleeing from something, it's fleeing to something. And what is righteousness, faith, love, and peace but Jesus Christ? And not only that, but you don't do it alone. You do it with other people. And so the way to flee is to step in the light and ask for help. Step one of regeneration is to admit that you're powerless over your struggle. And so rigorous honesty with yourself, God, and others that you are powerless over the struggle is the beginning. Proverbs 28:13 says, "Whoever conceals a sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." Don't let the shame of your sin, pride, fear of consequences keep you from the freedom, joy, and pleasure that God has for you. Now, there's other people in the room. And that are those of you that have been affected by someone else's porn struggle. You see, the shame of pornography doesn't stick with a porn addict. It's also carried by spouses, loved ones, and victims of porn. And you might feel dirty, inadequate, used, forsaken, rejected. And I want you to know that God sees you. You're so much more than an object of pleasure, displeasure, control. You are made in God's image to be respected, honored, cherished, cared for, loved, to experience true intimacy of souls. And I also want to say it's not your fault. You are not responsible for another's porn use, for how you've been used or even abused by others' addictions. You aren't a wasted person. Your marriage isn't wasted. you and your relationships can be healed and transformed into what God intended all along. But you must choose to trust God when others have broken trust. And that's difficult. You've got to rely on God to protect you rather than using the hurt and the pain of the past as a shield or as a weapon. God doesn't want any sin control in your life, not your own sin and not the sins against you. So ask God to help you to love without enabling sin. Let God into your pain so that you can surrender it to him. Psalm 52 says, cast your burdens upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. And you can be righteous in Christ. Back to my story. When I was at my bottom, I knew I couldn't get out of it on my own anymore. So I just woke Teresa up one night, my wife, Teresa, up and told her. So this is what's been going on. And went to our church, Watermark here. And there was no recovery group for us. There were no other couples that had come forward with this struggle. You know, we were alone in it. But we agreed to join a small group. And we agreed to open them up to our journey. And we agreed to work through scripture to figure out what scripture said with healing. And allowed others to bear our burdens. And by following scripture, we worked through the same biblical steps of healing you work through here at Regeneration. For 9 months, we did inventory on my couch. Don't talk to me about 6 weeks. 9 months, we did inventory on my couch, okay? And we discovered the root of my issue. I wanted God's glory for myself. I grew up a pastor's kid. I wanted praise. I wanted to be successful. And when I ever got afraid of failure, fear of rejecting, you know, I would run to a fantasy world where I was always affirmed, never failed, and was never rejected. That's why that worked for me. That was the core of my issue. My wife working on that with me transformed our marriage. So we shared our story with others so that they knew that they wouldn't be alone. We began to minister to other couples. Eventually, we helped start Watermark's group-based care ministry. A few years later, I joined the staff. A few years later, my healing journey was outlined on paper and turned into what you're going through now, Regeneration. Who would have thought that confessing my sin would have allowed God to turn my desperation into something different decades ago? I get to be in the middle of his miracles every day here at this church and now all over the country. God is good. Though I no longer look at porn, I need to be honest, I'm still tempted by lust. God hasn't taken that away from me. When I feel insecure, stressed, hurt, or tired, those porn memories can pop in my head. I trained my body for years to respond to stress that way. It's natural to my body. But this temptation in my life reminds me of where I would be without God. And when I start to operate independently, it flashes like a yellow light. Come back to God. It forces me to be honest about my feelings. It calls me to intimacy with God and my wife. It keeps me dependent on Jesus. And even if God never removes this temptation, his grace is sufficient for me because his power is made perfect in my weakness. He has all I need. He has what's best. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore." If I can tell you one thing, it's don't settle for less than God's best. His way is worth the risk. My name is Nate. I have a new life in Christ. To God be the glory.